With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
And welcome to the 396th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thorch, here today with my co-host, Lornian.
Hello.
And then, of course, we've got Veth Silo.
Hello, that my.
And then, of course, I'm Trainer Thatch, and this is Lydian, and that's Seth Vilo. We were just being silly gooses.
Oh, you.
Oh, you. Because it's 8:30, and that's what we do. And so, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League. What else would it stand for? Nothing else. Not the Purdue University Cyclotron Laboratories, not the People's Union for Civil Liberties, which I'm pretty sure probably hate us like a little bit.
What are those?
We outrank them on the Google search.
Yeah.
And that's kind of bad. Like, I feel a little bad about that one.
You were in your basement. What could you do?
I wasn't in a basement. I didn't have a basement until I was a man. I was molded in the ranch-style house. You just adopted it. Okay, but continuing on, we are a Pokemon podcast that talks about everything Pokemon, from the video game to the trading card game to Pokemon Rumble Rush, which is apparently only on Android still.
Yeah.
That's really weird to me, but that's okay. It says it's on iOS now. It's on iOS. It finally came out. So
took it long enough.
Yeah, right. Well, who cares? It's a Pokemon Rumble game, honestly. Like, let's be kind of serious here.
How dare you?
Pokemon Rumble's fine. Pokemon Rumble, you can't steer, sounds awful.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Welcome
Rumble to Rush is amazing.
We've got a good show lined up for you guys today. We're gonna start with some chit-chat, because it's been a while since I've seen Seth. Lenny and I just saw, so we don't care. And then we've also got some news to talk about. We're gonna jump into a Poke Quiz. We're gonna talk about our revised hopes for Pokemon Sword and Shield, now that we've got some information. And then we're gonna go into a Pokemon of the episode and end things with an interview with Dr. Lava from Lava Cut Content, who's actually one of the guys that does all of those awesome interviews. He's been translating the interviews for Gen 5 designs that you've been seeing float around the internet. He's the guy responsible for that. Yeah, it was actually a really fun interview. So all of the timestamps will be in the show notes if you want to skip around, do whatever you want to do. But yeah, how have you guys been lately? Linian, how is your flight back from PuckleCon? I heard everybody's was awful.
Mine was canceled, so I guess by default it was fine.
Okay.
So I caught a direct flight the next day. They transferred me for free. I did not know and was not informed it was the first direct flight between the two airports.
That's amazing.
So, like, the local news was there. There were cookies that they were giving out. Yeah, I have pictures of all of this.
I saw the pictures of the cookies.
They had fire truck.
A fire truck?
There was a fire truck was there who was spraying water over the plane like a gigantic champagne like thing. Like, you went through this
sounds
little
so
waterfall
stupid.
As they took out. I was sitting there going, what even is life?
What is this?
It was the most surreal experience I had that entire weekend. And that's saying something given all of what happened. And then we flew back to Salt Lake and it was all right.
how long is that flight then? It can't be that terrible.
No, it was like maybe 3.5 hours, maybe 4.
That's not a bad flight. That's cool that it's direct though.
Yeah, I was like, oh, they're like, yeah, we can put you on a direct flight. They never were like, oh, it's the first direct flight. How special. They're just like, yeah, that's an option.
Yeah,
you gonna take
that.
It?
That's not bad. I mean, okay, like, I understand the cookies, but, like, the rest of it sounds really absurd. That's all I'm...
It was really extra.
The local news shows up. The local news for a direct flight. What a world, let me tell you. Seth, you were also in Ohio, but not in the exciting parts. How was your flight? Did you get to take a direct flight back too?
Well, yeah. That's one of the perks of living near Atlanta, Georgia. There's a direct flight anywhere.
I know.
There were delays both directions. That was fun. Getting there and getting back, because weather is weather, and it was fun. So, I mean, my flight was fine. It was delayed for, I think, a total of 3 hours, but whatever.
Oof. That sucks.
Yeah.
How's everything else going? How are you holding up, bud?
Not bad. Not bad. Managing to injure myself with my new computer toys, so that's fun.
So just for reference, Seth Vilo hurt himself playing with a virtual reality machine. And I needless to say, like, when he started explaining to me the story, I was very unsurprised knowing him.
Wow.
I was just giving people reference for, like, what's going on. I'm just very unsurprised.
Yeah.
For me, I've been trying to rediscover video games so I can think about how much I like video games again. After recent Pokemon developments. And
yeah.
So I rediscovered, and this is a blast from the past, probably more for Seth than for Linian, but the Guitar Hero franchise.
Yes. Yes.
How
Which
young
one?
Do you think I am?
Young enough Four that you didn't fully enjoy it.
You didn't yet have hand-eye coordination, boy.
Because I have all the controllers and stuff from, like, when I was a kid, and my parents were just like, we don't want your stuff in our house anymore, and they kind of just, like, dumped it off. And so, like, I've had it sitting in my basement since we moved in, but the problem is, like, I knew, like, the drum set, like, wasn't working, and one of the pads wasn't working, so, like, using my electrical engineering knowledge, I went ahead and I ripped it open to try to fix it. Surprisingly, it was a super easy fix. Because wow. those drums are not complicated electrically whatsoever. It's literally like two wires. You have like a ground wire and an actual wire. That's all you have.
Wow.
And so first of all, there were no issues even with the actual drum set. It ended up being with like the foot pedal. Because if you remember, so this is a blast for the past for those of you at home. If not, I do recommend to understand this story fully, looking up Guitar Hero World Tour drum set. but like they had these little plastic things that you flipped up to like set the drumsticks on. The problem is anybody that ever owned one of those broke immediately because none of us were drummers and we'd end up hitting them very hard and then they would just end up breaking off. And so what ended up happening is those pieces like slid underneath one of the drum pads so it wouldn't actually properly hit. And so once I opened it up and I just took those things out and I put it back together, it worked just fine. All right, then. Yeah, so I was like, cool, this works now. I guess I can play some Guitar Hero. Then I lost the drumsticks, but then I bought some on Amazon and now I have them. So now my life is complete.
Well, if that's all it took.
Yeah, and then I've just been rocking out on Guitar Hero. The best thing about Guitar Hero games is that the Guitar Hero franchise and similarly Rock Band, they died because of the recession. Just heads up, they died because of the recession. People blame it on oversaturation of the market, but the answer is no, people just didn't want to spend $150 on like a guitar game.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why these companies like or these franchises went out of business. And then they tried to revive them briefly back in 2015 to no avail. No, it did not work. It did not work at all, which was really sad, honestly. It's probably because they didn't have one like a Wii version that came out, honestly. I'm going to be completely 100% honest.
You can't capture the casual market without a Wii. Like, that's just...
It came out for the Xbox One and the PS4, and I just don't think it was like right as those consoles came out too, which I think also hurt it because those consoles were super expensive and there weren't budget versions of those consoles. So like say you wanted to play those games really, really badly on the new hardware, and you'd end up spending like $500 for a new console on top of like the $200 for like the new controllers and everything. So, yeah.
Don't worry, Thatch. I have your answer. The answer is Beat Saber. Join me.
Yes, don't spend $500 on that. Spend $3,000 on this.
Nah. You get an Oculus Quest.
I don't plan on doing that at all.
Do it.
I heard the best virtual reality, like, on a budget is to just go get the Nintendo Labo one. Just to, like, try it out. No, I really, like, this is a legitimate thing. Like, I heard it was like a good, like, entry level, like, try VR.
I would say now one of the good ones is the Oculus brand. The Quest is good. It's all self-contained. You don't have to have a computer for it.
Really?
So you could do that. Have a computer. Yeah. No, it just sits on your face.
So to be fair, like, I have a pretty high-end computer, so, like, I can probably use the regular one.
Yeah.
But how much is that going to set me back?
I think the Quest is around $250. Okay. And the Rift S is around $300 or $400.
Wow, they have significantly decreased in price.
Yeah, unless you're a psychopath and go for the Index.
I don't know what that means. You're saying words.
That's brand spanking new one. It's not $300. That's for sure.
I don't know. I don't know if I like the problem with virtual reality right now. Like, I'll jump in. So, like, I'm not going to be an early adopter to virtual reality. I will jump into virtual reality as soon as developers jump into virtual reality. That's kind of where I am with that, because I don't think there's been a killer IP on virtual reality yet.
Beat Saber.
I need my, that's okay. So that's not nearly
Jedi
as fun.
Guitar Hero.
It's not as good as Guitar Hero. Let's stop lying to ourselves. Seth, have you not played Guitar Hero?
Oh no, I have. It's just, I can only beat my brother in one song. So it wasn't my cup of tea unless we played that one song.
So you can just come over and hang out with me and we'll just, like, I'm not super good.
There we
at
go.
At least not right
perfect
now. And so I miss those days, man. I miss the Guitar mm-hmm. Hero days. But that's okay. So enough about Guitar Hero. This is a Pokemon podcast.
Is it though?
Not right now. And so we are going to kick it on over to the news, where we'll talk about some of the recent developments in Pokemon. So let's cue that epic music.
Radio Tower, this just in.
And to the news. In the news, we've got a few things to talk about. First and foremost, because we were watching it beforehand and I need to make this joke before I forget. The Mewtwo Evolutions put out a new video showing the Mewtwo Strikes Back movie, some more clips on it. There's a few new scenes in it, and it also includes the track Let Me Love You by Rita Ora, who I assume Nintendo owns the soul of, because she actually did a lot of music in the Detective Pikachu movie. So, or at least Pokemon owns her soul, one of the two. So that's kind of interesting, I guess. The other thing that's of note is in the scenes that are shown, you get to actually see the boat of Ash and Co. going to the island in the Mewtwo Strikes Back movie. Also, Seth, you asked me why Team Rocket was there. I hope that wasn't serious.
It's been a while since I've seen the movie. I just remember them in the Magikarp sub.
So first Puckle movie night needs to be the first movie now. I'm sorry. It has to happen.
Uh-oh.
It has to be that way.
What have I done?
So what happens at that part of the movie is Team Rocket actually, like, has the boat that takes them out to the island. The problem is, while they're in the boat, they are dressed as Vikings. And in this shot, they're just dressed as sailors. So I am pretty discouraged that...
Minus 10.
I am pretty discouraged because we're probably going to lose the best joke in that entire movie in the dialogue, which is...
Vikings are mostly in Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why we're probably going to miss out on that joke. A little part of me was hoping this was going to be like super shot-for-shot remake, to the point where they could just translate the old dub on top of it, and we could still get like Veronica Taylor and everybody else. But I don't think that's going to be the case anymore, which makes me sad.
Oh no, Pokemon's disappointing you by failing to uphold legacy. What a shock.
No.
Okay, they're disappointing me a lot lately, and I just wanted something, okay? Just give me something, guys, okay?
That being said, the more models that I've seen in this particular trailer, it seems like it's a really cool, healthy medium between the typical anime versions of Pokemon we've seen and the Detective Pikachu stuff. They seem they should be on console.
Maybe.
You can see Pikachu's fur.
I don't know if I like it. I don't need fur on my Pokemon. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I really just don't need it.
I mean, I know if I like it, and the answer is no.
Yes.
I like it. I think it looks cute. And Gyarados looks very much more segmented, like it's wearing armor, like it should.
Okay, so because this is the Puckle Pokemon News segment, of course, what would it be without some Pokemon Go updates? So first of all, Pokemon Go Fest in Dortmund is going on. There are unknown that spell wake up exclamation point, which is very confusing to me. But those there are there. Jirachi's also there with the special research. Unfortunately, that hasn't hit the public yet.
That's why it spells wake up.
I don't know why it spells wake up. Why is it spelled
wake up? Jirachi wakes up every 1,000 years to grant wishes.
Oh my gosh, you're right. For people worldwide, you get a couple of things. First of all, Nidoran is going to be spawning and the shiny version will be available. Nidoran male, I should say. So you can finally get that shiny, shiny Nidoking. And if the research tasks get done, you can end up getting 1 hour lucky eggs. You can get up getting 3x hatch experience, 2x raid experience. They've also changed the raid bosses as of right now, and Nidoran and Magnezone are a couple of the raid bosses. So that's really cool. Mm. And then Magnezone got replaced with Magnemite. The Magnezone was an error. So that changed gears real fast.
I was about to say, like, Nidoran, okay, cool. And what?
Dude, I would have been so okay with Magnezone, though, being... Oh, it was a one-tier raid boss. It was a tier one raid boss. Oh, I thought they would have made it, like, tier four or something. I was wrong. They actually haven't changed raid bosses in a really long time, looking at this list, which is somewhat disappointing, but also, like, somewhat needed, because I think you need to keep... Well, you need to keep Alolan Marowak, and you need to keep Alolan Raichu, because that's the only way to get those. And... Because unfortunately, they haven't figured out that whole evolve this in Hawaii mechanic yet. And then you need Machamp because that's just like a staple of Pokemon Go. Like, you need Machamp.
Blech.
Unfortunately, like, if you want to play Pokemon Go well, you need Machamp. My wife gives me a lot of crap because every time there's a Machamp raid, I'm like, hey, we have to go do that. And she's just like, why? I'm like, do you really need a 13th Machamp? And I go, I need the candy. And that's kind of how that goes. Unlike Shiftry, I think is an odd choice though. That's me. Lapras and Absol, I totally get, but I don't know. Pokemon Go is getting to the point where they're starting to oversaturate themselves with Pokemon, and I don't know how well it's going to translate in the near future.
It's time for a cull.
Yeah. Let's not. Don't hurt my soul, Pokemon. Don't hurt my soul. And that's all I'm asking.
It's okay, Thatch. You can keep them in home.
Oh. Okay, yeah. So, like, I'm holding out for home to, like, actually have things. But I'm saving it for the topic. I've got some, like, hopes and dreams for home. And I have a conspiracy theory as well that I haven't shared on air, but with people in Discord. So, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna continue the news, though. Without me being sad. If you have the Line app, you can get some new Pokemon stickers from the Pokemon movies. That's kind of cool. That's
finally
cute. Yeah, I know. Also, if you're in Gameopolis in Spain on July 19th and 21st, the Pokemon Sword and Shield demo will be there as well, where you can see Yamper and Impidimp, which have yet to be officially revealed in any capacity. I have theories on why that is. And the other, we missed the legendary raid hour that happened. That was on Wednesday. But I don't think there's too much other news other than Pokemon Go and a few other things happening as of right now. Because, it's Thursday. We're recording early this week because of the holiday. And, unfortunately for you guys, that means they're going to drop some Pokemon news on Saturday and we're just not going to talk about it.
You can call us out next week.
Yeah, call us out next week. In Puckle News.
Give us a mailman.
In Puckle News, again, I'll reiterate this because somebody mentioned it in Discord and I wanted to be just, I want people to hear and know that this is happening. I am going ahead and I'm going to be at MitsuriCon this upcoming August. It's only in like 5 weeks, actually. It's like, the 17th and 18th of August, the same weekend as Worlds. I will be at MitsuriCon, which is in Columbus, Ohio, doing a panel, maybe two. They haven't told me yet. I'm on the waiting list with one of my panels, but I'm going to be doing a panel on the magnetic evolution of Pokemon. We're going to be talking about like how magnetism can affect it. There's going to be some cool physics that ties in with Pokemon. I'm just really excited to do it just because I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think it's a great way to get the Puckle name out there. And I hope if you have the time and you want an excuse to go to an anime convention, maybe your significant other is like, I don't really want to go, but then you can go, my best friend Thatch is going to be there. And she'll be like, oh, well, that won't be so bad. And then she finds out your best friend Thatch is actually a podcast host who's never met you. But that's
okay. He
doesn't
like you to call him your best friend.
I use that argument. It doesn't work.
You probably used it for Fucklecon, I can imagine. My best friend Thatch is going to be there. Do we have to go to this wedding?
It does not work.
We can verify it did not work for Seth Vilo, but maybe it'll work for you. I just wanted to get that out there because I said it last time, and I had a couple people like mention like, oh, hey, the Midwest is there's a convention in the Midwest, and yeah, I'll be there. And if you want to meet up, that's a great place to meet up with me. I know the Gravies will be there actually selling their art, which is really cool. So if you want to help support the Gravies as well, it's a great place to go and pick up some of their art in person and just get to shake their hands. These guys are cool. I love the Gravies. So other than that, I don't know that there's any other Puckle news. Summer League still going strong. If you haven't already, jump in and get your gym badges because there's only like 4 weeks left for gym badge collection. And I think as of right now, only 4 people have enough badges to get into that final tournament. Also, for those of you who had, nobody has 10 badges. They only have 8. And if you get the additional 2 badges, you get extra points for the Puckle League, which I found out surprisingly, despite not doing anything since like March, I'm still in 12th place in the Puckle League. So
nice.
That's cool. The Puckle League, for those of you who are at home, it's a great way. You could probably jump in then if I haven't done anything since March. You could probably jump in and get there. I think it's going to either be the top 16 or the top 8 are going to be put into a final tournament of champions at the end of the year, where we're going to be playing a variety of different formats. And if you win that, we'll have a big prize at the end. Nobody's really stated what. People have told me it's going to be a Switch. And I go, that's news to me, the guy with the debit card. And so we'll see what happens. We'll see. It could be a Switch. We were thinking a Switch. We haven't decided if that is true or not. But you can come ahead and just go. And if anything, you can get the real I am the Pokemon Underground Champion title. So go ahead, do that. And we also, like I said, we always have free prizes anyway. If you win any of these tournaments, you win a copy of Pokemon Sword or Shield, as heartbreaking as that is for me. On that note, we will kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. That means, of course, they can't use anything else except what's in their brains. No internet, no nothing else, I guess. Just whatever's in your head. Just don't cheat, guys. Like, just don't do that. They are competing today for... they're competing together to answer 5 Pokemon trivia questions given to us from our community and 1 from me because I have a... nobody gave me a Pokedex entry today, so unfortunately we have that to hurt our souls. But we do have plenty of other trivia. We're going to have a good time with this. They're going to have a chance to answer each question being worth 1 point apiece, except, of course, the one that has a bonus question. They do have a hint that they can use, and if they answer all the questions correctly without the hint, they can cash that in for an extra point for a possible total of 7. They are racing their fellow co-host to 30 points. Whoever gets there first gets $20 of TeePublic credit. To use on our TeePublic store. And this, is, of course, is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for anything anime-oriented. And they have some pretty cool art over there, including Green Tauros posters, which are hanging up in my wall, and you can actually see in the background of our streams. So definitely check that out. We also have some free art to give away. I'm thinking about doing a thing for episode 400. We'll see how that goes.
Whoa!
We'll talk about it more next week if I decide to do it. But I haven't decided if I'm doing it or not yet, because what I have planned would probably hurt me a lot physically. All right, so let's jump into it. Our first question is going to come from Archon, and he wants to know, what is the only non-starter Pokemon to evolve at level 17 by level up?
What?
I think it's Shinx into whatever it evolves Luxio? Into in the middle stage. Luxio. Yeah. I feel like it's that, or maybe that's the level it learns Spark. Because I know
why did these things stick in your head?
Because I remember I wanted to use it in my Diamond and Pearl run, and it didn't get any good moves until Spark.
Well, I also know that it's wrong, but...
Yeah, it might also be a bird.
No, because Shinx evolves at level 15. For a while, Arrival was going to happen. I know they didn't tweak that one in PTU. 17. Oh, that's an awkward...
I feel like now it's a bird.
Pick a peck, I guess?
No, it was a kind of good bird.
Staravia?
It might be Staravia. It might be Fletchinder. I don't think it's Staravia. The only non-starter. Yeah?
Do you want to just say Fletchinder? Because I don't know how much navel gazing we're going to get. You know, like, I don't know how helpful that's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I say, would you say Fletchling into Fletchinder and call it a day?
Yep. That sounds good to me.
Fletchling into Fletchinder is correct.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is correct. That is the only non-starter Pokemon that evolves at level 17. Fun fact. You guys got it. You did good there, kids.
I raised my share of Talonflames in Gen 6.
Oh, right. So, okay, so we are gonna move on to another question. It's going to be from P. McGee. What Pokemon requires only swapping out a single letter of its name to get its evolution's name?
Pidgeotto is 2.
What's Clink into Clank? Is it Clank or Clang?
It's Clang.
Clang? Okay. That's 2 letters.
I'll say this is a Gen 5 Pokemon just to help you guys out.
Oh, thank goodness.
Okay.
Electric to Tross is more than a letter. Mianfu Shao. It's not a pan. It's not a starter.
Is it some kind of weird evolution? Like, weird meaning? Like, Porygon 2 into Porygon Z. Ha 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 ha.
I think that should be a correct answer.
It's a stone. It's a stone. It is a stone evolution from Generation 5.
A stone-based evolution.
The only ones I remember are the bloody plant things, the Whimsicott and... Lilligant,
yeah.
What even else evolved with a stone?
They added something for every single stone in Gen 5.
Because it was Gen 1 all over again.
Plus some. I mean, there's a lot more stones.
Dawn? Anything with Dawn? I don't think
I don't think Dawn got anything in that. That's true.
Yeah, I lied. No.
Anything get Dusk?
Yeah, Dusk
Chandelure.
Was, Chandelure, but that's a little bit
that's
different.
Nothing. Yep, that's a very different name. Leafstone? Sunstone? Anything with... That was Lilligant.
That was Cottonee and Lilligant.
Yeah. Leafstone?
I don't know if it's a stone evolution. Woobat to Swoobat.
Swapping a letter, not adding a letter.
Yeah, no, it's not... Okay. Yeah, it's swapping, it's changing. And I think that's level, but...
That's
yeah,
actually friendship. Levels. That's friendship.
Oh. I mean, it's just utterly useless, so...
It's a heart. Know. It's fun with simple.
Yeah.
Crap. This is hard.
Shiny stone, guys. Shiny stone.
Oh! Oh, it's one of my favorites, too. How did it not click?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It's Chinchino to Minchino, or Minchino to Chinchino, rather.
That's correct. I'll give you the point, because I'm being nice. Because it's early. It's early. Huh. This is Thursday. All right. So the next question is going to be a Pokedex entry. So our Pokedex entry this week is from Pokemon, originally from Pokemon Black version. And then again, it was in Pokemon X version. It wields the fur on its arms like a whip. Its arm attacks come with such rapidity that they cannot even be seen.
Mian Shao.
Yeah. Even 7 a.m. booting up Linian knows that's Mian Shao.
Mian Shao is correct. So you guys are 3 for 3. Our next question includes your bonus point today. Our bonus point question is, hopefully you guys know a lot about Poison-type Pokemon.
Oh, boy.
There are 3 non-Poison-type Pokemon that can learn Toxic through level up. I only need 2 of them. You'll get a point for each.
Toxic.
They learn Toxic.
Okay.
Level up. One is Pukumuku.
Okay, I believe that.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. I feel like one of them is Sand Slash.
Does it get... It gets Poison Sting.
And I feel like it gets something. It gets that.
No, it does not. Because I remembered one of them is what's its name?
Cusco.
He is Cusco. But Seth, you're throwing me off my groove. That's not the point.
But I'm just. I use that my Guitar Hero drums for that one.
Describe it. Describe it. What do you?
Large angry bee with gender problems.
Vespaquen?
Yes, Vespaquen gets it because that's what makes Aaron gets it, and they don't really have TM moves, so that was their way around that.
Okay.
I know those two, and I feel like the last one is something that we're both gonna be embarrassed about. But
I feel like it's Sandslash or Sandslash Light.
So what are the two that you're gonna use?
Let's say Vespaquen and Pyukumuku. I know Pyukumuku because it needs some way to deal damage.
Those are both correct. So you got the 2 points there. You're 5-4 right now. The third one that you didn't get for bragging rights is Shroomish.
Oh, okay.
Fun fact. You shouldn't feel embarrassed about that one. So the next question, as always, is your base deck question. And so I want to know this week, what psychic type has the lowest base special defense of all psychic types with a base special defense of 20?
Mean.
What are baby psychics?
Yeah, and like babies. Mime Jr. has good special defense. Same with Smoochin. Yeah.
Or just laughably terrible. Deoxys attack form? Maybe?
No, because those are.
I don't think it's as low as 20.
Those are 50. All of it's like.
I felt like it was 30 for that one, but it might be. Yeah.
No,
awful.
What are its attack stats? Because it's 50 in HP for all of them, right? It has a high speed. I think you're right.
Really?
Here's the thing. Special defense, all of the baby Pokemon are things that specialize in that. So unless it's like Metatite, but even then, Metatite is not that bad. I can't think of anything that would be specially weak. Like, I'm trying to think Cosmog, but it's 20, which means it's not Prime, which means it can't be Cosmog. I think it might... Because Deoxys attack has, like, what, 180 in both attacks, right?
Correct.
It has 50 attack. It has 50 HP and over 100...
Yeah, that's it. Because yeah, if it, I'm it doing can't... the math right...
Yeah, right? It's got like, it has 180... a BST 600.
180 attack, 180 special attack, 150 speed, 50 HP. That leaves 40 points away for being at 600 points.
Right, which means it ends
at 20 unique defensive
even.
Stat.
Yeah, it has to be Deoxys attack form.
Yeah, let's do it.
Deoxys attack form, final answer.
Deoxys attack form is correct. So you guys actually got everything without the hints.
Math is good.
So we'll go ahead because I just gave you free hints and I was a nice person this week. So we'll go ahead and we will add in those things when I find them. Because that does change up the board pretty significantly because obviously it's 10 points. So we can always. I had the sheet open and
10?
I don't know where it went.
You mean seven?
Seven.
Don't That's correct him.
It'll just be random 10-point games on people's...
How did this get here?
How did this get here? Durr, durr, durr. It does change up the standings, however, pretty significantly.
Seth Violet with 28 points.
God. I don't know what to do with you sometimes.
It's a times 2 multiplier.
In first place, we have Linian with 22 points. In second place, we have Sublime with 18 points. In third place, we have Seth Vilo with 14 points.
Yeah,
in fourth place, we have R Sigma with 13. In fifth place, we have Dr. Shamu with 10. In sixth, we have Snag with 9. In seventh, we have Whimsicott with 7. In eighth, we have Basket with 4. And tied for ninth, we have Scrawn and Jushiro with 3 apiece. Tune in next time for some more Puckle Poke Quiz action. Yeah. We're going to kick it on over, guys, to the topic.
Hey, Puckleonians, it's Sublime Manic. Can't get enough of your favorite flip-flopping podcast? Then check out our social media. You can find links to our Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and YouTube all from our website, PokePodcast.com. And you can join our Discord to hang out with your favorite hosts and other Pokelonians. Also, check us out at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. And if you have an Amazon Prime account, consider subscribing to our Twitch channel. You can also check us out at YouTube at youtube.com/pucklepodcast. And we also have a Patreon if you're able to give anything at patreon.com/pucklepodcast.
And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be a revised expectation list for Pokemon Sword and Shield, because we've had a lot happen in the past month. Some good, some bad, and a lot bad. But we do need to go through, and let's just talk about what we're expecting, because I think the first E3 trailer, if anything, does change the expectations for the game. I definitely have some new stuff and some stuff that I don't think is going to happen anymore. Like, we're probably not going back to Kalos. I was like, there was hope in me that we'd go back to Kalos. I think those are Dash now. I don't think we'll be going back. One, because the wild area exists. Two, because, like they said, they're not putting all the Pokemon in. Let's get into it. I know you guys have changes in expectation. I think a good place to start would be Dynamaxing. I think there's a lot of expectations. I know, Seth, you talked about it on Battlecast. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I'm super interested in, and I hope the leak isn't true about the Gigantamaxing, because I just feel like the backlash coming from the Pokemon fan base. For those of you unaware, there's a leak that is mostly credible because it actually predicted everything before any directs came out.
As well as additional information afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Nessa, for instance.
It got Nessa afterwards, yeah. So it's really blowing people's minds right now. And they say that there's a thing that if you level up the Dynamax enough, you can get to what's called Gigantamaxing.
This leak just mentions Gigantamax. It doesn't mention the mechanic on how. There's another leak that kind of tags on.
I agree with that. That one doesn't seem as credible, honestly. I don't think it's the same person.
No, it doesn't.
But the Gigantamaxing is essentially, they change. It's essentially Mega Evolution, but Dynamax Mega Evolution from the sounds of it. And so you end up getting a design change at the same time, which I think is very, very disappointing for a lot of people, especially if like Pokemon get bounced out, but they made new models for Gigantamaxing. I feel like the level of salt is going to go crazy. I'm kind of hoping it's not true.
I think that's completely unearned. Oh, they made new models. It's like, okay,
I agree.
So what? Do you want no Pokemon with an alternate form? Come on.
So just to be completely clear, I think that new models, I think models are a horrible argument for the national decks to begin with anyway. They never said that the models were the problem. They said the animations were the problem. And so I just want to put that to bed, because I see a lot of people complain about the models and like the cartridge not having enough space, which obviously is not the issue. The issue is time. It's a resource of time that they've explained, and it's the animations, and they have updated the animations. We can complain and we can criticize how well those animations have been updated, mm-hmm. or how good the end product is and if it was worth it. We can criticize that, but I don't think we can criticize how many models are in the game. And
right.
How easily they can be transported over, because, yeah, it's stupid easy to transport over the models. Plenty of people have shown that. They didn't even update the textures, it turns out. They actually just used, like, a special effect that graphic designers can use. So they've literally just transferred the models. They've just made new animations. And I don't know. I'm very confused by that, and I'm sure a lot of other people are as well. But we've talked about this plenty for, like, 4 weeks. So let's talk about some cool stuff. I do want to know more about those Dynamax levels. I hope it does not end up in Gigantamaxing, but I do hope for something cool out of these Dynamax levels. Maybe we get something more, because like what we've seen so far, if you've played the demo, or I guess we haven't talked about the demo on the show yet, but when you play the demo, you can see these Dynamax levels in the Pokemon summary screen. And however, you're always at like the lowest level of Dynamax in the demo. So how is this Dynamax level raised up? What does it do when it raises up? Maybe we get different stat boosts? Because right now it seems like it's pretty much only HP that gets boosted.
Correct.
And it could be something, it could be when you level up your Dynamax, maybe you start getting like a 10% boost to everything else.
Mm-hmm. It's possible. There are 10 slots for it. So maybe at level 1, you get a stage 1 attack boost. Maybe at level 6, which is later, you get a stage 2 attack boost or something.
I can absolutely see that.
It could be species variant, too. Like, I think it'd be kind of fun if some things are just better at Dynamaxing, because it's like, okay, this Pokemon has a weak BST, relatively mediocre move pool, but in Dynamax, it's one of the most powerful Dynamax options. I mean, there are options there.
I don't need Grookey Dynamax to be good, if that makes sense.
it doesn't need to be like pre-Evos, but it's like, hey, Tyranitar only has like a Dynamax of like 6. On the other hand, I don't know, Glaceon has like 9. Okay, there's a difference in power there. That's it.
I would be disappointed
in a way.
I would be disappointed if Dynamaxing somehow turned into what candy values were in Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, where yeah. it made everybody good, no matter what. That's kind of my worry with Dynamaxing, is that we see something where it's like an artificial stat boost on top of everything, like candy values were. And yeah. it's like, oh, hey, you get an extra 200 stat points.
And ultimately, the big question is whether it translates to Wi-Fi battles, because that's yep. the biggest impact that we care about.
That is a good question as well. They did say Dynamaxing does go to PvP.
Yeah, I mean, not Dynamaxing, but the Dynamax level. Like, whatever its effect is.
That's a good point. I mean, there's plenty of interesting mechanics with Dynamaxing, and you covered it on Battlecast. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to rehash that, but there are, like, a lot of really, really cool mechanics. And outside of the National Dex thing, like, this is something that's actually really, really cool. So I want to learn more about that. I don't know if I have expectations for it, but I do have expectations that they're going to reveal more about Dynamaxing, and that it has more depth than what we've already seen. And I think it already has a decent amount of depth to it, so I'm kind of curious to see how they do it.
Yeah.
How they handle it.
I'm really excited for its implication on competitive. As I said in Battlecast several times over.
You think you mentioned it? I'm not sure if you got it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple times. It just makes it much more prediction reliant.
Yeah.
When is my opponent going to? When should I? Should I do it to counter them? Should I do it to just lay my own path and not worry about necessarily mm-hmm. my opponent's timing? It adds a whole lot more prediction and mind play to a regular game.
Depending on whether it requires an item or not, I think is also... Like no. It looks like no, but I don't want to make that claim yet. Because
yeah.
When Sun and Moon were announced and we got like the Z Crystal, like they hid the Z Crystals from us, I doubt they would have handed us a demo where the Pokemon was holding the Z Crystal when they were just like, this is a Z move, right? Granted, I think they
Z Crystals with the thing,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, that's different, yeah. But I think they would have probably said something along those lines, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're just kind of holding that back, that information from us to an extent. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was so that we could go into the demo and we could Dynamax whatever we wanted in the demo.
Yeah, the demo is not 100% what the game's going to be. The footage and all that stuff, the clips and everything we've seen, even in... This is something else about the animation, too. Like, the legendary tree that we see in the trailer, those oftentimes change between now and game release. When we were seeing Sun and Moon stuff, the trees looked very different in the pre-release footage than they did in the final release. So
that's a good point.
There's yeah. still a lot of things changing, so they could do that.
I think it's an interesting thing, just in general, though. I think Dynamaxing could have some awesome depth to it.
Mm-hmm.
I also expect the wild area to be pretty expansive as well. I don't think we've seen like good majority of it. Like, if you look at the trailer that they showed for the wild area, I just like there's different like biomes essentially, and we only got to see like a little bit of that in the treehouse. So that's kind of where my expectations are.
Mm-hmm.
I also kind of expect them to... So they said that you can only transfer Pokemon in the regional decks for Galar, right? I don't know. Like, part of me... This is definitely probably false hope. But part of me really hopes that, like... Because raid battles are such a cool mechanism for it to introduce new Pokemon in.
They've literally never said this. It's what everyone has said, and they've never said it.
I know they've never said it. But it'd be really cool if they could introduce Pokemon in. They did say though that some Pokemon won't appear in the wild area until you beat them in raid battles. That was said.
That was said, but
yeah, that's different. Which I think is an interesting mechanic. I agree with you; it's not the same.
Mm-hmm. That's how they're gonna storyline drive the National Dex to be 600 plus Pokemon. Is that yeah. they're kind of here? They're in the Dex, but you can't find them until you do this mini quest.
Probably
something I would hope. And this is something I've hoped for since, oh, I don't know. I think the last time it really happened was like Gen 5. I want a surprise in the story.
I mean, okay, so the people that are like okay with the National Dex change that like yell at the people who complain, they say that Pokemon's innovating. And I mean, yeah, we have raid battles. That's kind of cool. I think raid battles and like semi-open world are probably the two biggest factors. They made it open world, but still linear. Like, I applaud them for finding a way to do that, by the way.
Yeah.
I really applaud them for finding a way to do that. So good on you, Pokemon. But the other thing that I kind of hope for, like, if they're going to take away stuff like that, like, at least make it a good game. Give us something like Gen 5. Like, it doesn't need to be a plot twist per se, but it needs to be a good story. Like, I've been nuzlocking Black on stream, and we've been having a good time. So twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast if you want to join in on that action. I really enjoy it. But I think that's something that, I don't know, I would love to see that kind of story again. Like, something that's that immersive, because I don't think I felt that immersed in X and Y in terms of story and the world. We had something cool. I think the only cool thing that I remember from the story of X and Y, other than, like, this guy with orange hair wants to destroy the world, is that we have a Pokeball factory, like, world building wise. Like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, though, I don't think I can say anything. Like, with Black and White, I could be like, man, those gym leaders actually do things in the world. Man, there's, like, locales that I think are actually, you know, essential for the life of this region. And I think that's something that's kind of been lost in the past couple of generations.
I don't know, because I liked, okay, Ultra Sun and Moon, we're not even going to talk about, but the Sun and Moon story, I felt like it was character, like, they had some fun character beats there. It was fine.
I would say it just, I think they took a step back in that just because of the, I don't want to say maturity. I feel like that's a really awful way to say it, but they kind of simplified storylines. Right,
they didn't. They really did, but they also did that way worse in Ultra. Like,
oh yeah, absolutely.
in the original Sun and Moon, like, Lusamine isn't like a super complex character, but at the same point, they did try to have like a somewhat surprise antagonist. Guzma turns out to be just misunderstood. Like, there are moments.
Oh yeah,
there
are moments
that I like. I just want, and I don't need a twist. Like, there's a difference between a surprise and a twist. A twist is something that M. Night Shyamalan hasn't been able to do since 2004. a surprise is a moment where expectations are subverted, not necessarily like, oh, the opposite thing no one would ever have guessed, but like the, oh, this is what's going to happen, and then, oh, something else and fun happens. There's a great movie yesterday that I saw. I don't want to spoil it. There is an absolute surprise multiple points through that movie where, was it a twist? Not really. It wasn't like they set up all of these other crazy things. It was just something happened that was fun and unexpected. It took the scenes in new directions. And I just haven't felt that. I felt like I could, even if it was like stuff that was supposed to be shocking, like Lusamine fusing with Nihiligo, I was like, okay, we're going to get a crazy amped up boss battle here. And then exactly that happens. You know, why don't we have a conversation and then, oh no, something else. Like, if you need a battle, you can have that happen. I just felt everything's been so by the book. If they're going to take the time to set something up like this, you know, at least spend some of that time, you know, maybe even just animating the cutscenes so that their expressions can be surprising, where people, you know, can have complex, quote unquote, complex dialogue, even if it's just conveyed through reaction. I want something to make me care about the plot.
That's what I'm mostly worried about, just with what they've shown so far of what's going on, where you're essentially a soccer team. And you're going around collecting badges, right? And that's what I'm really worried about. I'm really worried about, like, basic plot, where it's like, yeah, you're just trying to become the best soccer player in the world. Oh, I'm in Pokemon Trainer. And then we do that, and it's just not very exciting. That's what I'm really worried about. And then there's, like, some B-roll, you know? Granted, we haven't heard anything about, like, a Team Skull equivalent or anything in this region yet. And I'm sure there will be, because it's a Pokemon game. Don't tell me about
Team Yell. We have in the leak.
I know. Don't tell me about Team Yell. So we're going to wait until we're going to wait till that's actually officially announced. I'm not going to trust in a leak. I think leaks are a good way to guide. I don't think they're a good way to have expectations, if that gives any relevance to what
yeah.
I think.
Absolutely.
Because, man, that guy could have, like, People have been known to, like, have some right information and then just blow everything else out of the water, you know?
Give them the right information and then get people to believe insanity because everything else is right. So just tell them 10 true things and then one really stupid thing and watch as they all believe that one.
Exactly. Like, that's something that, like, that's the best way to troll somebody. And this is probably, I mean, why else would you do that, right? What are you getting out of telling people about the information of the game, especially on an anonymous 4chan post? You're not like, man, I'm famous now. I'm not famous. I'm famous now. Like, you don't get that. I mean, you just don't. Expectation wise, though, I mean, I expect this to be okay. I'm really still excited for raid battles. Like, I really want to raid.
Yeah. Yeah. That and just general wireless features sound really
okay.
Good,
so
looking for this.
I don't want to feel good about the wireless features. And here's the only reason why, because they shouldn't have changed them to begin with. Because what they announced as the wireless features were essentially the PSS.
Which okay. They're going back to, which is what we
Why did we have to go back?
Well, they made a change, it didn't work, and so it's not like
that's how I view it too. Yeah.
It's like, okay, they didn't stick to Festival Plaza. That could have been, I mean, if we're talking about being worried about Game Freak sticking to their guns despite all evidence to the contrary being good, this should be a win.
I mean, that is a win. I will give the return of what is essentially the PSS is very good.
And being able to see other people, like, in your game at the same time sounds incredibly cool.
That hasn't happened since the weird Gen 5 mirror world
yes,
thing.
Yes, we had that.
Yeah.
We had that kind of already. I don't think they're in the world as well as... I mean, they're not, like, playing around, you know what I mean? I mean, you just get to see them when you go to do raid battle.
No, they're kind of...
They're around.
Are they?
Yeah, in the...
Yeah, they're around. That was in...
Yeah, in the wild area.
That was in the treehouse. Like, you saw the character who was doing the demo screen walked up to and interacted with the character that Masuda himself was playing.
Yeah, gave him a bag of potatoes.
Gave him a sack of potatoes.
That's like... That feels like kind of culturally insensitive. The sack of potatoes.
What makes you say that?
I mean, if you know exactly what that makes... What makes you say that? I feel a little culturally insensitive. That's all I'm saying.
I think
saying.
It's culturally tapping into the world that we all know is based on the UK.
I can't wait for Sack of Potatoes to be this region's, like, big Castellia Malasada. Cone? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be really bad. That would be really, really bad.
It's all right. You can't get them in the Irish Islands.
The thing is, it goes into your ingredients bag. Which is a whole nother thing. That's something I'm excited for. Whatever those are for, there's the information from the leak that we could talk about,
but
like you said, it might be wrong. I'm excited for that and the other interactive features this will have.
So the leak Seth is referring to is that there might be a camping thing, which would be like a combination of like a Mii and then some kind
we
of craft.
We saw it in the trailers.
Thing. Oh, did we?
Basically, because we see a Pokemon that's being played with a tent behind it.
So it's essentially Pokemon a Mii.
Yep.
And it's a Mii. Yeah, it's the replacement for a Mii, because they have to have Sylveon somehow.
But it's true. But we do have, like, crafting things, like you said, the ingredients, which it means there's probably more than just the Mii. It'll probably be, like, a button, and then maybe craft food, or craft whatever. If we can make leftovers, my life will be so much better.
Oh, that would be so
gosh.
Cool. I would appreciate that.
Oh my gosh, I didn't think of that.
I didn't think of
digestion
that
buffs, digestion buffs.
Stop.
That's actually pretty cool. The only thing that I think would, the only thing that would make it better in terms of crafting was Bo and I did an episode like way long ago, a couple of years
Pokeball
ago.
Crafting.
It's Pokeball crafting. I want that. I want Pokeball crafting so bad. We had like a 10-minute conversation laying out the mechanisms for Pokeball crafting. Game Freak, get on it.
This is how we get ball seals back.
I don't think you'll be able to make a Pokeball out of sack of potatoes, though, so I think we're stuck to cooking.
I don't know that yet.
We don't.
We also don't know what materials there are. We could be like picking up ore and cybernetic chips.
Yeah, exactly.
True. I think they picked up like two or three things in the treehouse demo that from like shining spots in addition to the sack of potatoes, and they were all added to the ingredients tab. They all looked very food like, but you're right.
Oh,
there could be ores and things like that.
We're Xenoblade Chronicles 1 now.
We're linking. We're Breath of the Wilding. We're going
to
cook.
If they're glowing spots they have to run to collect to fill out things, it's Xenoblade Chronicles, and you can't convince me otherwise.
It's also Breath of the Wild. They had the little glow spots. The little sparkle spots.
Not as much.
Not as much, yeah.
I would definitely say that we'll get, I don't know, if we could do Pokeball crafting or just like item crafting, like imagine instead of just picking up a piece of food, like you pick up like some kind of like ghostly essence or something like that, and then you could craft something like a life orb.
Yeah, that would be so cool.
Imagine instead of anything to get competitive items out of the battle tree.
Yes, or surfing or whatever it's going to be this time.
Anything to get it away from having to purchase it with something called BP, whether those are beach points or battle points.
Or, weirdly, breakfast. No, that's you get BP by giving people dishes, so you get breakfast points.
Breakfast points, yes!
No, please no.
No. What you do is you take the cooking mechanics, and if you make pancakes, which are like really easy to craft, you can use that to exchange your BP.
No.
Oh my gosh, we could do the cafes, but we're the servers.
This is awful. This sounds awful.
I think it sounds awesome.
Come on, Thatch. Don't you know that what people don't want is a National Dex? What they want is Cooking Mama and Diner Dash.
I want Overcooked 3 with Pokemon.
I heard Overcooked wasn't that good, by the way. Have you played it?
How dare you?
Is it good?
Yes. Yeah, like, it's great.
Okay,
you
on
get
a Seth
extremely
scale,
angry at your player 2 character. It's fantastic.
On a Seth scale from 1 to 10, how would you rate Overcooked?
I think it's a necessary aspect of any generally multiplayer household.
What? Okay, so like, give me a number.
That is
play
ten.
It with your wife.
1
it's
to 10.
It's a 7.
Okay, that's all I need. So that's a 5 in real people terms. Okay.
Wow.
Ow.
That hurts.
It's not wrong, but it hurts.
All right. Is there anything else that you guys have expectation-wise?
I'm honestly really excited for the general graphics. I know we've been talking about the stuff that we've seen from recent stuff and things like that, but walking through the cities that we saw is going to be gorgeous. Like the static things that you're walking through, the forest that you saw the clip of, I think that's going to be a really cool experience, both on handheld and on docked mode. I'm real excited because it looks like it's going to be incredibly more immersive than we've ever seen before. The forest looked like a real forest.
I mean, we'll have to see. Yeah, no, it is true. It does look good. I mean, just the trailer in general, like the trailer where they showed like the wild area, like it looked very good. It was semi Breath of the Wild, but you could tell it wasn't exactly Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know, it was done well, and you got to see some of the Pokemon walking through it. Granted, Steelix is kind of weird, but I mean, the Hippopotas and like the Snover, those were really cute watching them like walk through, and it does feel really good when you see that.
Yeah, and it's, you're there, basically. That's the cool part. And they make the battle animation comments like, okay, double kick is low. But I also was reading from what Joe Merrick had said from his demo.
Yeah.
And he said, in general, like the low powered moves are not what they focused on. They focused their efforts on the higher power and more competitively useful things.
From my experience, that like if we're talking about move animations, from my experience playing the demo, there's two things. One, there are some moves that are fantastic. Like
waterfall,
I think,
looked amazing.
So waterfall personally looks really cool, but also in terms of like so I use Score Bunny a little bit, and the one thing that it really popped out to me was I had Score Bunny use Quick Attack, and usually you just see like this, you know, the 3D model like just like disappear, hit the guy, and then come back, right? Mm-hmm. Score Bunny actually does like a run, and ooh, it actually looks super fluid. It's really nice. So like there are some things, yeah, like you just said there. Now on the flip side, in terms of move animations, I am very underwhelmed currently by the Dynamaxing moves.
Yes.
I think those are animation wise, I don't want to say lazy, but I do want to say very simple, and they don't inspire joy. if I can use that phrase, but they, unlike like the Score Bunny Quick Attack animation, I thought was much more fluid and a much cooler animation to see than anything I saw in Dynamax. And that's kind of where like I stand on the moves right now. I think the moves in Dynamax just aren't that impressive. I think the cell shading looks very nice. But
depending on what Pokemon we're talking about.
Yes, I agree with that too. But I think there's some cool things. Like, the colors really pop. It does, a lot of things look smooth, but the Dynamaxing, like, the moves, I'm just not impressed by. And maybe that changes with Dynamax level. Maybe those are the,
and we haven't seen all of them.
Yeah, maybe those are the quote unquote simple moves. We've seen a good chunk of them, actually.
I think about half. We still have about half. We went over that in Battlecast. I don't think we've seen half to see.
I don't think we've seen Fairy Dark or.
I haven't seen Fairy or Dark, but we know those effects are confirmed, so yeah. Someone has seen them.
Yeah, but I'm just not impressed by the battle animations as of right now, for Dynamax. We of course that can change. Like I said, like maybe like you said, the higher power moves got animation, like increased animation mm-hmm. stuff, and maybe there's high power Dynamax moves that we just don't know about.
Yeah, there might be more particles to the water when you use Hydro Pump versus when you use Waterfall.
I don't know about that, but
is that yeah. something I feel like we would have seen.
Yeah, I don't
That's
know.
True.
I don't know about that. Like, Waterfall is a very impressive move. I will say that. Like, in terms of animation, it does inspire a lot of imagery from
joy.
A lot of joy. Yes, it inspires a lot of imagery from like past Pokemon games. But I don't know. I do want to see how it develops. I can't say for certain that like I am going to be unhappy with the animations. Like, there are things that are cool about it. The problem is. I think the only problem with what they've done recently is that I'm going to be more critical of it than I have ever been, which makes mm-hmm. me sad because I'm typically not a person that cares about graphics. But if they say, hey, this is why we cut the national decks, like for me, it's just like, okay, is it worth it? And I'm going to be critical right. about it. And unfortunately for them, like unfortunately for me, because I just want to enjoy this game, man.
Yeah,
I just want to enjoy it. But we'll see, because there are some cool things in it, though. I mean, there like Linian said, Waterfall was very impressive. I thought the Quick Attack animation was very impressive. So it all comes down to that. I am also very happy that badges are back, like more happy than I should be.
And the gym leaders yeah. look cool. Like, they seem to have like when we did the gym battle in the demo, I
That's
was
true.
Actually really impressed by.
I've never cared about gym leader dialogue until then.
Yeah,
that I will say that.
It broke the fight, not super fluidly, like you could tell it was a triggered thing. It wasn't like yes. just, but at the same point, it didn't feel too artificial. It felt totally fine. Like
unlike other gym battles, and I think it's just the way that the gym battles are being handled in Sword and Shield, is that we walked in and then the gym leader walks in. And before it's never been like that. It's you walk up to an NPC and then you fight.
Yeah, it makes it feel much more like a tournament.
It makes it feel, it does change the feel of the game significantly. I think just having that ability to, you walk in, the gym leader walks in, you walk into a stadium, which honestly, a lot of us who grew up with the anime, we feel that hype just walking into mm-hmm. a stadium to play Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And so that like, there are plenty of merits to Sword and Shield. There are so many merits. And I do want that to get out there. Like, I don't think this is a terrible game. I think there's a terrible decision, not a terrible game.
Yes. Good way to put it. Good way to put it.
Because there's so much cool stuff. Like, despite, like, if it weren't for that announcement, I would be, like, hype out of my chair right now.
Oh,
Maybe they did it so, like, I come back down to Earth. Maybe that's why they did it. But, because, like, raid battles are cool. That gym leader battle was really cool. Some of the move animations are really fluid and nice. And, I mean,
the crowds cheer when you get a crit. It's interactive.
The screen behind, when you get a crit, it like has this little Pokeball headed man get like clubbed.
Are you serious?
Yes, it's amazing.
That's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. I will see how it develops in the coming months, because it will develop in the coming months. And I mean, we'll probably get some news probably next week. I wouldn't be surprised.
Probably between this episode's record and release.
I don't know about that. I think we'll probably get something next week though, throughout the week. Because the Koro drops for real on the 15th, and
which
if it's just Impidimp and Yamper,
on the 12th.
Yeah, we'll probably get a trailer next week, late next week. So yep. Keep an eye out for that. Probably Thursday. Let's say Thursday. Thursday. They don't like to do stuff on Fridays. Let's say the 11th. Say the 11th, we'll get something, because they don't like to do stuff on Mondays or Fridays typically. So it's either going to be the 11th or the 16th. All right, but that is where we will end this topic. It will ask you guys to write in some more stuff. So yeah, we are going to kick it on over to the Pokemon of the episode. So we will catch you guys on the flip flop. Hey everyone, If you want to help support the show, a great way to do so is by going to the Puckle Tee Public Store and buying one of the many designs. PuckleCon's coming up, so make sure you grab your PuckleCon t-shirt. If not, you could get some love at this with a Team Snore shirt so you can get ready for Pokemon Sleep by wearing this awesome Snorlax design. It's actually really cute. That would be really good on a pillow, actually, now that I think about it. There's also Slowbro Surfing Company, which I think is also an amazing design. You can just go there, buy anything. I think the Prepare for Trouble Tournament logo is fantastic as well. So if you could just go over there, support the show, grab yourself a t-shirt, a tapestry, a tote bag. Tote bags are weird, but something that you can get logos on. Unfortunately, we don't have the phone cases because it doesn't look good. But you can do that tote, pillow, tapestry, notebook, so you can take your notes on it for school, for that summer, those summer classes you're taking, or wear a tank top so that you can, you know, be cool in the summertime. But yeah, there you guys go. Go check out the Puckle Tee Public Store. Help us out. All the money goes to helping the podcast and just getting us to do cool stuff. So without further ado, we are going to switch things over to the Pokemon of the episode.
Episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 497, Superior, the Regal Pokemon.
It can stop its opponent's movements with just a glare. It takes in solar energy and boosts it internally.
And he has little hands. He has little hands. I didn't know that until recently. He has little hands that he keeps hidden behind his back.
Like any good royal.
Yeah, it's... Which is like, oh, that's kind of weird. I thought those were just leaves, but nope, they're hands. Superior is not bad, mostly due to its hidden ability in Contrary, which just lets it boost its attack and it gets Leaf Storm as Stab, so, and it's fast, so why not? So we decided this week to take a look at Superior, who's got a base stat of HP of 75, attack of 85, defense of 95, special attack is 75. I didn't realize its attack and special attack were so similar. Special base special defense of 95 and a speed of 113, which is fantastic. So that makes it, I mean, it's decent. The only downside is grass type, but it gets grass stab and it gets contrary. So everything goes really, really well. So Seth, start us off. Talk to us about Superior.
You bet. I love Superior. That's one of my favorite things. And when I go offensive, this is the thing I go offensive with because it's a beautiful, beautiful blessing upon this world.
I had a joke about how that's never, but I'll let you continue.
Hey, it's sometimes, and I love it. Because sometimes when I'm sick of having a half-hour battle, I just want to stomp something into the ground. This is how you do it.
Okay.
So we decided to do that with this
you
team.
Battle for a half hour?
I know, it's crazy.
I've done it a lot recently because of gym battles. So, like, let's...
yeah.
Let's just, yeah, we're done there.
Offensive teams are fun. I will say I like overwhelming force sometimes. So, Superior, starting off, it's got leftovers. The ability is contrary, obviously. The EVs are 56 HP, 200 special attack, and 252 speed. The reason for that is to, number one, hit a leftovers number, add more little recovery without while minimizing background damage like Sandstorm and all that kind of garbage. It also prevents Rotom Wash from breaking your sub with Hydro Pump.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a timid nature just to maximize on that 113 speed. Moveset of Leaf Storm, Hidden Power Fire, Substitute, and Glare. So, it's great. Leaf Storm sets you up to plus 2. HP Fire is for everything that would come in on Leaf Storm except for Heatran, but if Heatran comes in, you just glare it and just hope for paralysis spam, which
by
is
the
great.
By the way, this team is very significantly just like speed control the team.
Yes. Yep.
So, to pay attention, family. Pay attention.
And Superior is also great for absorbing defog. So you want to be able to switch it in when your opponent uses defog, because you get the evasion boost instead of the evasion drop, which helps your subs. The second team member that we have pairing with it, because it, like Thatch said, is very speed control the team, you got to have something fast on a speed control team. So we have Tapu Koko holding Electrium Z. EVs are 20 HP, 252 special attack, 20 special defense, 216 speed. Reason for that, 216 speed outruns Weavile and Greninja. Max special attack, and the HP and special defense are to avoid a one-hit KO from Latios, I believe.
Yes,
Mega Latios, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's got a timid nature. Moveset of Thunderbolt, Defog, Roost, and U-Turn. Thunderbolt's great for damage, especially with Electrium Z. You can Oko or severely cripple things like Clefable and Heatran that are trying to reset the Stealth Rock after you get rid of it. Defog's good for clearing. You may not do a lot of switching, but it's important that your stuff is healthy because it doesn't have much health. Mm-hmm. Roost is to keep yourself healthy. U-Turn is to get things in safe, like the aforementioned Superior on something. Like, I don't know. Yeah, U-Turn's good, and it's better than Volt Switch in this case, because you want to be able to get out on anything, including switched in Landos, Gliscor, Garchomp is huge. You'll take the rough skin damage, but you'll at least still get out. Yeah. So that's the first two.
And then we also slapped a Greninja on this team because you're hyper offense, so you need a Greninja. This is basic choice specs, Ash Greninja, Battle Bond, 4 defense, 252 special attack, 252 speed with Timid, so you're going fast. Hydro Pump, Dark Pulse, Water Shuriken, Spikes. I'm not a huge fan of Spikes. I wouldn't be opposed to switching that out for something like U-Turn as well, just to give you another option to like kind of bounce out and it just give you like a little bit more momentum. But that's just basic Greninja. It does well. It's just a really good performer. So Greninja's here to stay.
The thing I would throw in about having Spikes on this is it makes you a very hazard-centric team. Mm-hmm. Which can be good or bad. For offense, that's incredibly good. And also, because you have Superior and you're really trying to goat out those defogs to come in on, stacking Spikes in addition to all the other hazards that we'll go over soon really forces your opponent to try and defog when they otherwise wouldn't want to and let Superior get that evasion.
And we need somebody who's like a little bulky, so we grabbed Excadrill. He can still do a lot of fun. So he's Focus Sash, Mold Breaker, because Mold Breaker is the Excadrill of everybody's dreams. And he's 252 attack, 4 special defense, or force defense, 252 speed, Jolly, so he's going fast. Stealth Rock, so again, you can goad out those defogs. Rapid Spin, so you can clear your side because you don't have HP. I'm sorry. Earthquake, and then Rock Tomb, so you can control the speed even more. And Excadrill's just having a good time. He's having a good time.
Rounding out our speed control, the team, we have a pretty standard webs lead in Ribombi with a Focus Sash, Shield Dust, 252 attack, 252 speed, 252 special attack. We're not that wild. 4 special defense, Timid Nature. We're running it with Sticky Web, Moon Blast, Hidden Power Fire for those pesky Ferrothorns, and Stun Spore, because often you'll be faster than whatever is out, and after setting webs, you've got a Focus Sash, you've got something to do with your next turn.
I love that set, by the way. That is my
favorite. It's so good.
I love that
set. It's so cool.
I love that set, mostly because of Stun Spore. I'm not going to lie. Like, Sticky Webs are nice, but Stun Spore, I think, is the real MVP on that set. Just because
it is, because you catch the floaty stuff that wouldn't be affected by webs.
Like Lando? Yeah. Paralyzing a Lando feels real good, man.
A Tornado switch in?
Yep.
Celesteela? Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels real good. It feels real good. But yeah.
Yellow magic, baby.
Even if you're not cutting their speed, just the chance to not act is often what can make or break something that's coming in on that.
Exactly.
And then, you know, if you have all of this speed control and all of these entry hazards, what you really need is something to come in, get out of control, and just win via overwhelming offensive power. So that's why we have Blacephalon with a 252 special attack, 4 special defense, 252 speed, Timid Nature with Beast Boost as the ability. Choice specs have been slapped to this thing's face. Fire Blast, Shadow Ball, HP Ground for really anything that's going to try to trick that up.
Heatran.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise you have nothing against it. And then Trick, because why not?
I love that. I mean, we essentially took that Blacephalon team from like 2 months ago.
and retrofitted it with more anger.
Yeah, that's all we did. It was fine. It's great.
Blacephalon is fantastic for neutering Heatran, which would otherwise be a cold stop to Superior, which is your end game.
Yeah.
Whether it's weakening through Shadow Ball to the point that Serp can actually puncture through with Leaf Storm, it's possible. Or just bopping it with Hidden Power Ground.
Bop it. Twist it.
Pull it. Push it.
There we go. We got it.
Kill it.
Flick it.
Kill it with fire.
Man.
So that's what Blacephalon's cool for.
All right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So that is the team this week, guys. You can catch the whole thing over on the Discord server because we'll actually remember to do it today because Seth is here. And so you guys can try that one out. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, so this is where we're going to leave Seth and Linnean today, and then we're going to shift gears over to that interview with Dr. Lava. So yeah, thanks for being here, guys. And it's closing time for you because get out of the house.
It's all right. Seth was never there.
All right. So yeah, these kids will catch you on the flip flop, and we're going to kick it on over to that interview.
Puckle presents a special interview.
And welcome to another Puckle interview. This week, we have someone new. We have, I hope I'm saying this correctly, Lava Cut Content, or however you want to go.
Dr. Lava's fine.
Dr. Lava. So first of all, who are you? What do you do?
Well, I'm a YouTuber. I've also got a website where I publish translations. Lately, we've been doing some 2011 Sugimori translations where he reveals some scrap designs from Gen 5 that didn't make it in the release version. So I do that on the site. And then on the YouTube channel, I deal with Nintendo Cut content, mostly lately just Pokemon stuff. And so we'll find internal data or translations of various ideas, concept art, maybe things that didn't make it into the release versions of, in this case, Pokemon games, and then kind of use video editing and maybe some kind of storytelling techniques to try to convey what those games, you know, might have been like those elements been incorporated.
All right. So I do this with everybody. I do it just to get things started, get things rolling. So we're going to ask you a few questions very quickly. Answer them to the best of your ability. And here we go. So who's your favorite Pokemon?
Probably Gligar.
Gligar. Okay.
Is it Gligar? I always mispronounce just about every single Pokemon because I played the game sitting, you know, in my living room by myself.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
So I read the names and I'm like, that's Gligar. And,
is it Arceus? Is it Arceus? Is it...
All right. I've been Arceus? Playing... You know, Gligar has been my favorite since I was about... Well, since he came out, was almost 20 years ago now. So yeah. I've been saying my favorite Pokemon name wrong for 20 years, apparently.
First Pokemon game.
Blue version.
Favorite Pokemon game. Favorite overall.
Man, I really like both the Fire Red Leaf Green remakes as well as the Heart Gold and Soul Silver remakes. I think I got to go for Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
That's a good answer. And then favorite Pokemon spinoff game?
I haven't played a lot of them. I probably played three or four. I think Pokemon Ranger had a certain charm to it. I take that back. I think Pokemon Snap will always be my favorite just because the age I was when I played it, probably.
Favorite TM? This one always trips people up.
No, that is a tricky one. Man, I guess I'd have to say Snarl, purely because of the weird story behind it. Number 95 from Gen 5.
That's actually pretty good. That ties into your stuff pretty well.
Yeah, it's a little shameless plug in a way. Yeah.
All right, and then Sobble, Scorbunny, or Grookey?
I think I like, this is what everyone says. I like Sobble the best.
I don't know. That's what everybody. This is probably the one where I've seen the most diversity among people in terms of like choosing them. Because usually you have like the traditional like I pick the fire types because fire types are cool crowd, and then you've got like the people who are like I hate the cool crowd and they pick the water type, and then you have everybody else. And this time it's been a bit more diverse.
Well, on Twitter, anytime someone, you know, likes my stuff or whatever, I always see they've either changed their screen name to Sobble Squad or Grookey Gang. And I haven't seen – I don't even know what the equivalent is for Scorbunny. So
I think it's like Team Scorbunny, but like Pokemon tried to push like a narrative where it was Scorbunny Squad.
Oh, well, it's already taken.
Yeah, squad. Right? Exactly. I don't think they understand how this works.
Right.
All right. Well, so let's like get into it. So like you said, you did a lot of Gen 5 like interviews and you translated them. So like I want to focus a lot on that because it's really cool content and It's just something that's really interesting to me as well. So what made you decide to start doing that, actually, to begin with?
Well, I covered the cut content from Pokemon Gens 1 through 4, and then I was trying to find some unused designs for Gen 5, and I, you know, Googling around, I quickly landed on a page I've been to before, a Bulbapedia page called Unused Pokemon, and they had only a handful from Gen 5, and there was no source for them. And so I was thinking, these are probably – a few of them said something about, oh, they were some from Nintendo Dream interviews. But I spent – I had to drive – I live in China. I had to drive about 5 hours to another city, and actually my wife drove. So I just spent the 5 hours trying to track down those interviews online or even an issue number or anything like that, and I just couldn't. So I eventually posed the question to my YouTube followers in the community tab at the time, because it was about 22,000 people, and no one could find it. Eventually, Snorlax Monster, who's the manager of Bulba News, he actually sent me a link to an old defunct blog from a Japanese blogger who transcribed two of the interviews in Japanese, and they were the blog no longer existed, had to use a Wayback Machine. And so I got those, did a little bit more research, and basically ended up having those two interviews translated into English. And they confirmed some of the stuff that was on the Bulbapedia page, like that the Hydreigon family was originally a family of tank dragons, that Tornadus was originally red. And then there was a bunch of stuff that I'd never seen before, like that Petalil originally – sure I'm pronouncing that incorrectly.
I think that's correct. I don't know, though. So,
okay. But that there was originally a third stage in the Petalil family that was scrapped, that there was originally a Litwick pre-evolution that was a flame Pokemon that was also scrapped. Let me think. The Dwebble and Crustle, if I'm pronouncing those correctly, were originally... he called them furnace Pokemon, whose shells were kiln-fired pottery. And so I've translated three of those interviews now, and I'm still trying to track down the rest of them. I've got 104 origin stories of the 156 from Gen 5. And
that's pretty good. That's like two-thirds.
Right. The remaining interviews, I'll have to actually find these, I guess, about 8 or 9 year old Japanese magazines somewhere. I've got contacts in Japan. I've got a translator now who's volunteering to translate and help me find some of the stuff, but even he's having trouble finding those old magazines. So hoping to track him down, have him translated, and find out what other designs did make into the game's release versions.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I was going to ask you what, so you mentioned you have a translator. So how many people are like involved in this to like make this happen? Because I imagine it's more than a one-man band.
Well, I do most of everything myself. Now I've got this translator who joined up with me a couple weeks ago. Of course, got my Patreon patrons who help fund some of these. Previously, I've been paying, I think, about $75 per translation. Mm-hmm. And I've also been commissioning some original artwork to help sort of recreate these lost designs. I don't know if you're familiar with Helix Chamber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Rachel Briggs is their artist, and I've commissioned her to do some of these lost Pokemon designs as well, along with another artist named Nick Cron. And how many people? Yeah, so I do most of it, and then I've got the translator for the last couple of weeks, these artists who are helping me out, and the funders on Patreon. And then, of course, I've always got people who are sending me this or that, but I guess you could say that's the team.
Yeah. So you turn these into videos, and like you've seen all these origins. So which one's your favorite thus far?
One I thought was interesting was Sugimori said in one of these interviews that he's long wanted to make an ant Pokemon as the smallest Pokemon in the Pokemon world, but they haven't ever gotten around to making it a reality. Which is a kind of a strange concept, I suppose, because it would be weird to see something the size of an ant fighting, you know, let's say Dialga or something like that.
Yeah.
And winning. So that one kind of stuck out to me. The Hydreigon, again, pronouncing it wrong, the Hydreigon tank dragon family, that was also an interesting one. I think there's about 20 in total that I've found. And yeah, I think that's a special place in my heart for that ant. I think that's sort of an interesting idea, even if it is kind of a terrible idea.
Well, it's kind of like Joltik. Joltik's pretty small. Granted, he's a tick and not an ant.
Right, right.
And then he had a chance. He made Durant that gen.
It was actually in his description of the Durant origin story that he mentioned this ant, saying something like, well, I've long wanted to make this tiny ant Pokemon, but this time, you know, we made this ant. I decided to focus on this particular design, but I've still got that tiny ant in mind. So
there's a chance. There's a chance then. Maybe one day.
Maybe
one day. Yeah, poison electric ant. It's going to happen, guys.
Right.
So in terms of making videos, like, how long does it take you? What's your favorite one? Like, the whole shebang. Tell us about your YouTube life and what you like about it and what you hate about it and everything.
Well, I actually do this full time. I don't currently have, a proper job right now. So I usually take about 1 month to make each video, which is YouTube algorithm. The YouTube algorithm doesn't recommend me all that much because they want people uploading every day. But I try to, especially lately, do stuff that's never done before, like, bringing these translations to life, the original artwork, finding these magazines and all that. And so it takes quite a bit of research, as well as I try to do a good job video editing as well to really kind of do justice to the source material. So I'm doing about one video a month presently, and my last one took me about, the one on the lock capsule took about 150 hours, and the one I'm currently working on is probably going to be, when you add up all the time for the translations and all that, will probably be well over 150 hours.
So for the lock capsule one, did you capture all that footage yourself?
Well, it was actually a bit complicated. I think to film on a DS to get, proper footage as opposed to just kind of like using your iPhone to film, which obviously looks terrible. If I remember correctly, you needed some kind of ambassador relationship with Nintendo to get that equipment. I don't know why there was never an over-the-counter version, but I don't think there ever was.
There never will be,
So the reason the video took, at this point there certainly will not be, but... Yeah. The reason it took so long was I found a text dump of the game, which included, basically all the dialogue that was included in Black and White, including the cut dialogue, which was the dialogue that was part of this lock capsule event. So I played the game quite a bit, played about 15 hours of Black and White on emulator to get some footage, and then I kind of had to use some video editing tricks to sort of create the illusion that some parts of this event were going on. Some parts I was actually able to do in the emulator. Other parts had to be sort of, like I said, create an illusion. For example, when I'm having in the video a conversation with Mr. Locke, where he's saying, oh, you've got the Locke capsule. I'm a sad clown. Oh, here's a letter from the Johto region, blah, blah, blah. I had the text from the text dump, and then... those old movies where someone's kidnapped someone's daughter or whatever, and they get a magazine and they clip out the letters.
Yeah.
Which is basically what I had to do, was I went around, talked to a whole bunch of NPCs so I could get all the letters, uppercase and lowercase. And then I clipped them, moved them, one tenth of a pixel at a time.
Mm-hmm.
When they appear on the screen, the text doesn't just flash up. It goes left to right, four characters at a time. 1/30th of a second, four characters appear. And so I spent a lot of time making sure that the event that again was creating an illusion was happening in the video was, pixel by pixel, frame for frame, exactly how as it would have appeared if it were actually occurring. And that took a lot of time.
Wow. Yeah, that does sound like it took a lot of time. Oh, no. So is the event in the game, actually, or did you have to do that for that way?
You can. As part of the video, I also showed folks kind of how they could do it themselves, in which you can use an action replay, or there's also this fan-run DNS Wi-Fi server for the Nintendo DS. And that using that, you can basically trick your game into receiving the Lock Capsule event, which was actually, because all this material is actually in the game.
Yeah, that's what
it's
I thought.
It's just Nintendo never distributed the Lock Capsule via special event that would have allowed people to experience it. And so basically you can use cheats or the DNS server to get that first step, which is receiving the Lock Capsule in Heart Gold. From there, you can, everything else is actually in the games, and you can, you know, talk to the mystery gift attendant, get the thing, send it over to Black and White. You got to talk to the scientists and so on, all the steps that are shown in the video. And so you can actually play it. And a lot of people have commented like, oh, I just did the event. You know, it works, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So in just like covering all of this, I don't know. I know you do other like not Pokemon stuff like on your website and everything. I don't know. Are you like a Pokemon person, like center most, and then you just like expand out to Nintendo, or do you just see yourself as like Nintendo cut content, and then you go from there?
Honestly, I don't really even like Pokemon very much. I'm just doing it
really
for the views. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. No, I've been a Pokemon nerd.
Okay.
Since I was, you know, 10 years old and Pokemon.
I was gonna say, I'm like, this is a lot to go. There's a lot to go through.
All right. You know, I'm a big Pokemon fan. I didn't play Generation 7, but I've played everything else, including, you know, I think I said 4 or 5 of the spinoff games. Also big fan of, you know, what you would probably expect, Metroid, Mario, Zelda.
Yeah.
So I've covered those as well, not as extensively as Pokemon. Right now I'm just doing Pokemon, but eventually when I get through as much of all this Pokemon stuff as I can, I would like to... Yeah, I've got a Luigi's Mansion script I'd like to turn into a video at some point, and some other kind of, you know, just kind of big classic Nintendo games that have really interesting cut content and unused ideas.
That's super interesting. So then I guess then from a Pokemon community standpoint, how do you think that, I mean, I personally think this is something that's worthwhile and something that should be done, just because it's really cool to get everything cataloged properly. And have like Pokemon Origins, especially if they were like just blatantly like stated, this is what we did with them. But do you think like the overall reception to the from the community has been really good for you in terms of like these interviews and everything else you've been putting out like that?
Yeah, the first three interviews I've translated have gotten about 100,000 reads and then hits on my website.
Yeah,
actually, it was cool. The someone after I published the first one, someone tweeted it to. James Turner, who's the British designer for the Pokemon games.
Yeah, now he's the director for Sword and Shield, actually, too.
Oh, is he?
He's the
director?
He's the art director for Pokemon Sword and Shield. Yeah. Sugimori took a step back this time, and he let a new guy take over, and it was James Turner.
Oh, I didn't realize he was art director now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, someone tweeted it to him, and unsolicited by me. It wasn't, on a sock account or whatever. But I was tagged in it, and so I saw the response, and he tweeted back that it was a good read and kind of made my day just knowing that a man who actually creates Pokemon went to my website and read this article. But
and some of the Gen 5 ones. Those were some of his first designs.
Right. Vanilluxe family.
And
the
Golurk.
Golurk, right.
And Mandibuzz.
Yeah. And Mandan, exactly.
Yeah, the diaper chicken, yeah.
Right.
that's
there
cool.
There was one thing described in that particular interview, which I hadn't realized before, and I, based on people's reactions, I think most people hadn't realized it, which is that, first of all, of course, Volibee, his diaper is the skull of a dead Pokemon, and then... Mandibuzz, I guess he has something like a dress, which is the teeth. And so that when he sits on the egg to incubate it, presumably he meant before the egg hatches, it's meant to look like an upside down skull with the teeth poking out, which maybe some people knew that. I didn't know that until I read Sugimori's description.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Yeah, that's actually really cool that James Turner actually came back and like responded and said it was cool. That's pretty cool. That sounds like an accomplishment to be proud of.
Right. I was pretty happy about that. And I think it's been pretty well received. Like I said, I think about 100,000 people have read it on my website. And then There's been quite a few other websites like Crunchyroll and Anime News Network and comicbook.com, who I was actually a bit frustrated. They kind of republish a lot of the information without linking to me. It's a bit annoying, but so I'm not quite sure how many people have read these interviews at this point. Seems to be pretty well received, so I'm pretty happy with it. I'm going to keep on. I've got kind of a stack of translations from the last 10 or 20 years I've piled up on my translator's desk, and he's working through them. I was actually working on one just now when I took a break from a translation to call you, actually.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. So could you let us in on anything that you're planning on doing in the near future?
Well, the next couple of videos will be the ones in which I present the information from these first three interviews with a 15 or 20 beta Pokemon designs. And like I said, I've got the original artwork for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the interview I'm working right now is my translator, Kenji the Intern, is what he goes by. He sent me the translation. Now I'm writing commentary for it, in which there's some interesting information in there as well. Human characters are never as interesting as the monsters themselves, but there's some interesting stuff, like that Professor Juniper, instead of being the first female professor, she was originally a fat man. And then Suki Mori went, and as he recalls the situation, he complained to Masuda and said he wanted Juniper to be a woman, and he wanted her to be a career New York type woman, and that he would do the design. He would do the design himself, which he usually doesn't do. And it's kind of an interesting story of all these interviews, the development of Gen 5 and how things change and why they change, because this person complained or this person stepped up and took responsibility for that character or that Pokemon. So, all these interviews are pretty interesting.
Yeah, I like that. I didn't know that at all. That's actually really interesting. I know a lot. I've been doing this for 12 years. Oh, man, that's good. I like learning new things like that.
Yeah, well, I'm finding as much as I can throughout these translations.
No, I really appreciate that. So I guess that's pretty much all I have. And this has been a fun conversation. This has been a blast.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, before we leave you, though, like, where can people find you? Just do all your plugs, you know?
Oh, sure. I think I've only got a couple. I on YouTube, I'm Dr. Lava, D-R-L-A-V-A, Dr. Lava. And my website is just lavacutcontent.com, and that's where the translations are.
All right. That's awesome. Yeah, so that's where we are going to end it here, guys, with Dr. Lava. Once again, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
And we're going to go and we're going to cut it to later on me to do the outro. And here I am, guys. We are here to just let you know that you can go ahead and follow Puckle on social media over at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever social media is sold at Puckle Podcast. You can, of course, catch me on stream doing the Nuzlocke later this week on Thursday and Battle Streams on Wednesday. Jushiro and Orange doing TCG on Monday and Tuesday, respectively, over at twitch.tv/thePucklePodcast. And of course, if you can, go support our YouTube channel. We're going to be posting some of those Nuzlockes over there in the near future. Right now, we've run out of battles or tournament battles, because we're not going to cover Summer League until the final tournament. So you're going to have those to put you aside. But we're very close to getting repartnered. We are only like 115 subscribers away, so please go do that if you can. We really appreciate all the help you can give us, just because we really want to get repartnered. And then, of course, if you want to keep up with the show, check out our Discord. That's where you can chat with me, other fans of the show. It's just a really good time. And finally, I think the last thing we always talk about is going over to our T Public store to support the show. And then finally, you can also go over to Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast. Well, guys, here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it is closing time. And Puckle would like to thank all of his patrons who make this show possible. So thank you to Greg, Viger, Duly Noted, Ten Little Men, Wing Zero, Rob, Josh, Keegan, Ilaria, Dr. Shamu, Michael, Paul, Dexio, Christian, Miguel, Apollo, Rotted Mushroom, Mr. Panda, Titan Killer, Lane Gross, Lord Corbinek, Alvarin, Seth Vilo, Wade, Marcus, Kinkovic, and Harmonia, Alolan Dergs, Tank, Samuel, Claude 9, Bodtech, Chris, Swamp Rattata, Tori, Steve, Josh, Doc McStuffles, Cody, the Golden Klefki, the British Gent, Trevor, Mark, TJ, Doc Knox, Dennis, Echo, Jonathan, Disco Calypso, Taylor, Charles, Colt, Maxi, Shambles, Justin, Tim, Andrew, Old Man Tup, David, Dark Shaggy, Chris, Jeremy, Louise, Franco, Justin, Locke, Jordan, Zach, Jonathan, Graham, Greg, Alec, Mikey, Kevin, Josh, Half Full Reviews, Sparky, Coop, Jordan, Nick, Dylan, Huitku, Shira, Smacky the Frog, Ironcaster, Kevin, Orange Avenger, Dylan, Thomas, Curtis, Anime Gravy, Hazelnut, AZCRXS, Joshua, Travy, Cordell, Julie, and The Real EV. Thank you to all of you for making the show possible, and we will be having patron packages out very shortly, followed up by the next month's round of badges as well. So keep a lookout for those. We will announce it in the Discord when those packages go out. And I will catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.